Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 27th, 2019. Pastor John Melke. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace, mercy, and peace are all yours from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of our God. Where do you feel most welcomed when you go about your daily living? Do you feel most welcomed when you arrive at someone's house and they give you a hug? Or when you came into church and Fern greeted you with a handshake? I can only imagine the joy that must have been felt when the veterans returned from their honor flight from Washington, D.C. once again this past week. What a joy to see all the signs, "Welcome home," on the posters by their family and loved ones, friends. When do you feel most welcomed? It might vary from person to person, but it's when there's special occasions, there's special reasons to give joy and thanksgiving. When it comes to sharing the love of Jesus, we don't always want to share that same joy with those who are not like us, those who don't look like us, who don't act like us, who don't speak like us, those who just are different from us. It's just something that's pretty common in our lives, I think. We just are a little more uncomfortable sharing the story of Jesus' love with those who just don't quite look like us. That's true admittance from my heart, and I'm sure it comes from yours as well. But the reminder from our text from Luke chapter 15 is that Jesus shares these two parables to remind us to welcome home the lost who are now found. Who are the lost? Well, they include those who are in the national news. The lost are those who are walking into Walmart. The lost are those who are at the Friday night football game. The lost are those who are on this planet, everywhere. And Jesus reminds us to welcome home the lost who are now found. As we discuss these things today with God's word, we understand that Jesus is on his trip to Jerusalem one last time. He's about to celebrate the Passover, the festival of the Passover, to remind them of what had been accomplished when the angel of death passed over the doors of the houses of the children of Israel as they were about ready to leave the land of Egypt to go into the wilderness. And the children of Israel have been celebrating that up until Jesus' day. And Jesus was coming to let them know that while I'm celebrating this Passover one last time to remember that event, I'm come to fulfill that prophecy because I'm coming to be that one who sacrifices my own life as a payment for the slavery to sin. And so Jesus reminds us of that in our text. He says welcoming words to those who are listening to his sermons, his teachings. And as he presents those words of God, we find that there are all kinds of different people who are attracted to Jesus. There are the Pharisees who are kind of curious what he's got to say, so they can probably go back and ridicule him and mock him. There are those who are the outcasts of society, the tax collectors and the sinners. The tax collectors are those group of people who were cheating the Jews and helping themselves with the money from the Jews for their own pockets or giving it to the Roman government more than it needed to be given. The scum of the earth would have been those outsiders, those sinners that are talked about in Jesus' words. And apparently those sinners, those scumbags, were attracted to Jesus because he was offering a wonderful message to them. Freedom. Freedom from their sin. The forgiveness of all their sin. They were attracted to that message. And of course the Pharisees were not interested in having those sinners hanging out with them and with Jesus as this crowd was drawing closer and closer to him. Literally and spiritually. these people were getting closer and closer to Jesus. And the Pharisees were not happy. They ask in our text, this man welcomes sinners and even eats with them? The Pharisees prided themselves in being goody-two-shoes, better than anyone else. And Jesus, knowing what they were thinking and what they were muttering to themselves, tells them the parables that you all know so well. We have the shepherd who's got 100 sheep. He knows them by name. He knows what ails they have. He knows what's going on in their life. And all of a sudden, one of them takes off looking for greener pastures. And one of them is gone. And when the shepherd realizes that it's gone, he gets really concerned. And he leaves the 99 behind and goes and searches just for this one little lamb, this one sheep. Why? Why was this one so important for him as a shepherd? It was important because he loved that sheep, just like the other 99. And it was lost, and it was going to be starving and needed to be found and fed and satisfied. And when he finds that sheep, what happens? He called his, or joyfully, he puts the sheep on his shoulders and went home. He's rejoicing over this lost sheep. And he can't just stop there. He goes on to say that he called his friends and neighbors together and said, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. This man celebrated this victory of finding this one lost sheep. Why? What's Jesus' point? He has us understand that there are so many who are lost in this world, the scumbags of the earth. There are so many who are lost and are losing out on eternity that they need to be found so they can be saved. One precious soul is important to Christ. One precious soul is important to us so that they come to know the knowledge of the truth as we do. And then Jesus tells the other parable, the lost coin. This woman, this poor woman, had 10 coins worth 10 days' wages. And she unfortunately lost that coin when she discovered it had been lost. She sweeps the floor, she lights up the lamp, and she searches for it until she can find it. And then she says, rejoice with me to her family and friends, I have found my lost coin. Why so much effort? She was poor. She was all alone. And she needed that to provide for her well-being. It was precious to her, that one lost coin, and she rejoiced when she found it. And Jesus makes the point that there's angels in heaven rejoicing when one sinner is saved through the proclamation of that good news. There's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents and believes that good news of Jesus Christ. When that baby receives the gift of baptism at the baptismal font, there's rejoicing in heaven. When Jesus was sharing the message of the good news of Christ, God's Son, there's rejoicing when those people who were ill received spiritual nourishment for their soul before Jesus cured their body. Time and time again, we see that throughout the scriptures, where Jesus shows how welcome he is to the lost sinners who now have been found. He did not shun any sinner at all. He didn't shun you or me. He offers the message of forgiveness, life, and salvation. He offers it to those, even the Pharisees, who are there with him. Because he also notices they need to see that law in their hearts to condemn them for their sin and to turn to him in forgiveness and faith. Jesus welcomes sinners who are lost but now are found. Probably the best example of that is the Apostle Paul. He was the persecutor Saul. He thought he was doing God a favor by trying to kill Christians in the early Christian church. And yet Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that God turned him around and he became a great proclaimer of Christ. Saul's soul was precious as well as he became the great apostle Paul. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul writes, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Jesus considers your soul precious too. Unfortunately, there are times when we are like the Pharisees and we think, well, why would Jesus reach out and try to save that person when we see how that person seems to be living? How pharisaical we are when we have that kind of an attitude. But Jesus has reacted to us with the gospel of himself. The powerful law penetrates our hearts and convicts us of our sin, and the gospel opens up the wide door of the forgiveness of all of our sins, even those sins when we act pharisaical towards others. We are reminded that Paul writes, I am the worst of sinners. We deserve damnation. We deserve eternal separation from God. But God in his grace says, no, I love your soul so much, I want to reach out and save you who are lost so that you may now be found. Remember where Jesus is going. He's willing to sacrifice himself on a cross for the sin's payment. Jesus is ready to march up a hill, but first he had to leave heaven, that wonderful throne of grace. And he came from heaven to deal with the muck and the filth of our sin. And to constantly be reminded that there's temptation all around. But he went so far as to go to a hilltop where he would suffer the ultimate pain and punishment for the sins of the world. And by his glorious eternal joy that we have in Jesus, because he lives on an Easter morning and lives eternally with us, we know that we have complete and full forgiveness of our sin. That, my friends, is what motivates us to welcome those who are lost, who are now found. Jesus welcomes us, lost souls, when we've been found. He spared no effort to save us. And by his grace, we continue to share that message with others. We spare no effort to reach out to the lost so that they might be found. We spare no effort to reach out to those who we are in contact with. It might be that neighbor. It might be that coworker. It might be that family member who's still lost in the filth of sin. But we reach out and share that gospel so others might see Jesus in the light of the truth of the Word of God. We spare no effort to plan activities and events where someone might get connected to a Christian church to realize that because of Jesus, they are no longer sinners but saints of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We spare no effort to know that our souls were worth and valuable to Christ. So also we want others to have that same knowledge of the truth as well. We spare no effort to reach out to the lost so that they may be found. You've heard this story probably told many, many times in many, many different sermons because it applies in so many different situations. Let me tell you the story again. There was this hippie that came to church, an affluent community. He was late for church. They were in there singing their first hymn. It must have been Christmas or Easter because the church was packed. And as he came walking in, he realized there's no place to sit, so he came down and sat in the front, and like a hippie with tattered jeans and long hair, he sat down in front of church on his knees. Now, what were these people who were affluent in this Christian community going to say and do? They were shocked. What is this man doing here? He doesn't belong. He's not part of us. He doesn't belong here. And the elder of the church came from the back to deal with the situation, so they assumed. So he walks up in his nice suit and tie and kneels down and sits down with this man and shares his hymnal with him so he can sing along with the service. You've heard that before, reminding us that those who may not look like us, who may not act like us, who may not speak like us, still have a soul that's worth saving. A soul that's worth saving. My friends, if you spend your entire Christian life reaching out to the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ, and you only find out when you get to heaven that only one soul was saved through your efforts because the Holy Spirit used your efforts through the powerful gospel to convert one soul, was it worth it? What if that one soul was you? Jesus considers your soul precious. And he reaches out to you and says, I'm not sending my angels to do the work anymore. You, God's people, have a job to do, a task to do, an honor to do, to welcome the lost who are now found by sharing the message of Jesus. Because amazing grace is a sweet sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.